I just want to camp here. I mean, I've got an announcement to make. We've got a guest minister, but I am drinking this in. This is good. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, let me get to the announcement. How about we do that? Because I'm sure folks are curious. We've known for about a year that we would be moving. And I didn't know we'd get a whole year out of the deal, but we managed to do that. And when I was bringing the September rent to our landlord, that's this mulch business right here, I noticed it was closed the month of September. And I went, uh-oh, what meaneth this, you know? And so, of course, we've known. This isn't a surprise, but the day arrived. And so I text the landlord, and normally she gets back with me within a few minutes. It would be unusual for her to wait 20 minutes, which this one took about a half hour. And when it came back, it's like, yeah, just mail it to Fruitland Park. And then I'm like, is that all? And I said, well, any word on your closing date? And the closing date is for them is going to be in November. And so she said, so we've got to be out by October. And so guess what? We're going to have today and two more services in this space. And then we're going to move on. So I've already met with Pastor Jim T. at Revive Church, and we did a walkthrough actually Friday. They have graciously opened their sanctuary to us, and I've said it for a while, if the day comes before a building arrives, we're going to be a Saturday night church. And we haven't locked in the time, but I'm feeling led to kind of go earlier rather than later, because I'm a morning guy anyway. So, but we're thinking from like 4 to 5:30. Because people like to go to eat after church, and if we do it before dinner, you can still do that, and that would be a good thing. And then, of course, when we meet there, we have to clean up after ourselves, and we're going to be a blessing. We're going to leave the building better than we found it, but they've graciously done that. In fact, every time I'm feeling intrusive in any way, he's like, listen, we're easy going. He's made this very, very easy for us. And so it's a different time. We've never not had an address as a church. We've always had an address where we meet. Well, we're the church. A building is not the church. And we get a chance, an opportunity to prove that we're a local body of believers. And we get an opportunity to prove that. And I believe God wants us to have a building, and we have enough money in reserve that I could go pay for a couple of years' rent. But my conviction says don't do that, because then you're in that cycle of rent. It's bye-bye. So we're going to believe God, and we're still going to have a building. And then we are going to be the ones loaning our sanctuary to someone, to another church. Pastor Dennis does that with the worship leader that Pastor Julie and I kind of grew up under. He started a church called The Chapel. He opened his sanctuary to them. They met last night. They meet on Saturday nights. And so it's been a blessing. And I'm sure he'll maybe talk about some of that today. And I want to introduce my friend. You've heard me talk about Pastor David Cook and how serving under that man actually imparted a love for people that was not natural to me. It wasn't something I had. Julie's laughing. She can attest. I didn't want to fool with people. I wanted nothing to do with that. But because I walked with a man for 4 years, the Lord imparted what it means to be a pastor. In fact, the day that I was ordained as pastor in that church, after we'd been there about 6 months, the Lord gave me an acronym. It just was a sentence and a moment. The word pastor means people are special to our Redeemer. That was instantly on my lips, and I thought, Lord, that's powerful. And I could literally feel a change in my heart. I cared about people. I had a compassion that didn't belong to me previously. It was Jesus's compassion for people. He's the shepherd. People get upset about the word pastor only being in the Bible one time in Ephesians 4. Actually, it's in there 18 times. It's the other 17 are translated shepherd, and that is describing the ministry of Jesus and his care for people. I said that to say that from Dave Cook, I got this pastoral anointing, this care for people. That's where it came from. He had it, and it was transferred to me, much like Elijah and Elisha. Now, my friend Pastor Dennis, I've gotten more from this man than you can ever imagine. When I sit and I think about what has been poured into me, and he doesn't even know. But because of him, I know the value of relationship. I know the value of that. I was a person that was like an island, and I didn't share anything with people. I would only give you what I wanted you to know. I had Facebook identity before Facebook existed. But he taught me to take the risk and to open your life and let people see. And that would endear them to you because they see that you're not perfect. We were trained in a church to maintain a facade of perfection that was literally unattainable. And it's because you only got the production. You only got what was shown to you. You didn't get behind the scenes. But this man has taught me to be who I am in front of whoever. And I just want you to know the value of my friend. This is one of my best friends. And I'm so glad he's here. He actually asked when he found out about the building situation. He said to me, now listen, when you get a plan together, I have a word for your church. I have a word. Now, he's never done that. He's never said, I have a word and I need to come. But he did this time. He said, when you get a plan. So for a year, he's been asking, have you got a plan? And I'm like, no, not yet, but you're welcome to come. He said, no, we need the plan. Well, now the plan is we at least know the next step. October 1st is a Monday, and we're going to start packing. And here's the good news. They're going to demolish this building so we get, well, we get everything. My landlord sent back and said, take the fans, take the flooring, take the lights, take the fixtures, take the bathrooms. And I text back, how about the ACs? And she said, take the ACs. So praise God. Well, let's hear it from my good friend, Pastor Dennis. I don't want to take any more time.
Love you. All right. Well, with an introduction like that, it can only go downhill from here. That is not fair. Don't do that to people. We've known for about a year that that this day was coming, but I wanted to be here when he shared the announcement because I'm a part of this church. This is my church is just as much as it is yours, in my opinion. And so I pray for it. We prayed for the launch of that. I prayed for you people before I've ever seen you with Pastor Wade and Julie. And this work is so important for this area. And so I want to talk this morning about a message about the pioneering spirit. Not everybody has it. Not everybody even understands it. And so if you don't understand it, maybe you have it and you didn't know it. It's something that God gives freely to anyone that would want it, but be careful what you ask for, because maybe you don't want it after you get it. But the reality is it's what the kingdom of God is all about. And so I want to present a message to you in a way that afterwards you can see if you agree with me that this really is something that God is doing and he wants to do. A pioneering spirit, in the use of a noun, a definition would be a willingness to endure hardship in order to explore new places or try out new things. The pioneering spirit of Americans is seen as they pushed forth their way from east to west coast of this continent. My people are from Illinois originally. We could only endure so far. We got the call to go to the west, and we just said, "Well, Illinois is good enough." And I got to tell you. I'm grateful there were people that pushed on. Amen. It'd be really crowded on the East Coast if we didn't have people that discomforted themselves so that there one day could be comfort for others. And so this morning I'm talking to a church of people that are getting ready to embark on some level of discomfort. And I'm not saying that you're going to be in any kind of misery at all, but anytime there's a transition, it's uncomfortable. Change is not something we, you know, hoop and holler about. Amen. It's something that meets with resistance oftentimes in our flesh. And so if we don't really understand the spiritual value, then we weigh it in the carnal. And we look at it and we say, well, this is uncomfortable. I don't want to be uncomfortable. Raise your hand if you want to be uncomfortable. No one does. No need to ask that question. But if we understand the spiritual significance of that, then I'm grateful that Jesus is willing to hang between two thieves and carry a penalty that he did not earn. He was willing to discomfort himself for others, you know? And that's what we do when we embark on this thing that God has called us to do. I was thinking about the Starship Enterprise. What was their mission? If you only knew Scripture as well as you knew the tagline to a science fiction show from the late 60s. We would be awesome, wouldn't we? To boldly go where no one has gone before. Why did that premise appeal to generations, you know? Because I think it's primal on the inside of us. I believe God has called us to be people that would boldly go. And now that's a science fiction show, but what about reality? What about nonfiction? What about God stirring you and I to go in a place that we've never gone before and be excited about it? William Shatner was excited about it. That's the best I got, folks, but you didn't pay nothing, so look to your neighbor and say he's doing all right. So I think about what it must have been like for the disciples. I mean, we're hanging with Jesus, and now he's gone. I watched him ascend like a bird into heaven. And now what do we do? He's gone now. What do? We got to figure this out. I wonder if the words of Jesus were still ringing in their heads, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples. Boldly go where no one was gone before to embark on their enterprise with Jesus. Amen. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I don't want you to forget this, church, that any endeavor, anytime you embark on what God's called you to do, it's risky, it's scary, it's the unknown. But he's saying, I am with you always. That's the promise that God's given us, church. And so I don't understand everything that's going to happen. I don't understand where the end is going to be, but I don't need to know that. I just need to know the next step. Amen. And that's the walk of faith. And I'm always saying, God, give me the plan, and then I'll figure it out. And he goes, no, then you'll do it by yourself. And I want to do it with you. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the next step together. And the next step. And that's what we're going to do, because you and I believe at the end of this service, we're going to decide that we're going to be in unity, and we're going to do something together. We're going to do something together that is a little bit, feels maybe risky, maybe scary, and maybe I'm overselling it. Maybe it's not at all. You know, maybe you're just, cool, we're going to do what God told us to do, you know, and so maybe I'll just sit down and let you preach. But I was thinking that you know, God, throughout the history of Scripture, asks people to do this kind of thing. So I just want to look at a couple people in Scripture. We're not going to turn to those passages, because I think that you know they're there. And if you don't believe me, look it up and see for yourself. But Father Abraham had to decide to leave his family and go to a place that he did not know. Now, can I get a map? Can I get some further explanation on this thing? No, just leave your wealth, leave your comfort, and go, you know? And I think about that example, But I think about the warning too, because sometimes that road is long and we start filling in the blanks, you know? Because if, you know, I'm going to be the father of many nations, well, how am I going to do it with this old lady you gave me? So we started thinking, you know, I got some other plans, you know? And so sometimes we think, well, how can I do that with these pastors or this church or this group of people? I mean, I look at you and you're not much, but you're all the Lord gave Pastor Wade and Julie, so. So sometimes we can look at each other and we can say, how's this body going to produce the promise? We forget. He who called you is faithful. Amen. So that's what I think about when I think about Abraham. I think about Moses, you know, and I mean, just all bets off of him even existing, and yet he does, you know. And so look around in the room, you know. I know Pastor Wade's testimony, and many of you do, but addicted to drugs, sitting in a rehab facility, and there's those five people there with you, and they say about 20% of people are going to ever recover from this. And the Spirit of God dropped in Pastor Wade, and he said, well, I feel sorry for those other four people. And God has brought him, you know, put you in a basket, you know. And he's done that for each one of us, you know. And he's made a way where there seems to be no way. But now he's finished somehow. Where do we get that idea? You know, and we do. Don't lie and say you don't. You look back and you think about the wake of God's glory in your life. And then we get to this moment, and at this moment, and whatever this moment is, we always think, well, what's he going to do now? I guess he's done. I'm sunk. You can't remember all the things he's done for you before. I think there's a pattern here, because he's doing all right until he starts acting on his calling in the flesh. Because his call was to deliver God's people. But he saw a Hebrew man being abused, and he went over and he killed that guard. He did things in his own flesh. I think that we see that Moses and Abraham explained to us that this is a time and a season where we move slowly. And the one thing that I will testify in all the years I've known Pastor Wade is he's not a man who will jump out foolishly. He is a man of great meditation. And he is going to have sure footing. But here's the crazy thing. My sure footing oftentimes has to go out onto the magic carpet of faith. So I may have sure footing, but this is cushy. This does not feel solid, Lord. And that's when we trust the Holy Spirit, and we trust the leadership, and we trust the body, we trust the group, amen? And we knit ourselves together, and we don't let anything separate us. I think about John the Baptist, and that's my favorite dude to preach about outside of Jesus. I love John the Baptist. I love the fact that he dressed different, he looked different, he ate different stuff. It's like me, I'm on a no-carb diet. I'm different, like John the Baptist. I might be stretching that a little bit. And I like him, and I like that Jesus said that there was none greater, you know? And here's someone who's doing something different. He's a pioneer, to say the least. They're all in the city. He's outside of the city, but they're coming to him, amen? Because he's got the word of God, you know? And when we think about Abraham and Moses and how they pioneered in what they did, amen? And that call is still available, because we read that story and say how awesome it is. But then we shy back from our opportunities. And, you know, I think about this. Well, yeah, but those guys were select few and they were great. In fact, Jesus said, John the Baptist, he's the greatest. So who am I compared to him? Finish the verse, church. We got it up there? Matthew 11:11. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Who's in the kingdom of heaven today? Lift up your hands. I can tell by your faces. You in the kingdom of heaven? Come on. Jesus invites you in. Amen. And here's the thing. It wasn't so much what he ate and what John the Baptist did, it was his calling. And why Jesus said he was the greatest is because, do you know, he's the only prophet that beheld the promise. And his job was to make straight the path of the coming king, amen, to announce he is coming. And that's why his position was considered great among the prophets. But listen, we have shifted from a different dispensation, a dispensation of grace, where he's saying, as great as those prophets were, the least in the kingdom of heaven has that pioneer spirit, has that power to follow God into where he's leading us, amen? But I think we got to tap into it. We've got to gain some confidence in it, you know what I mean? We got to recognize it's there. Pastor Wade and I were working on our guitar scales, and I said, I always play these five notes here. But you know, I'm noticing that these two notes on a blues scale, they call it the blue note. B.B. King knew it. He hit that note and you're like, ooh, go ahead, brother. Now I know those extra notes are there. I can play them. Oh, with confidence. Amen. When you know, man, that spirit lives on the inside of me, I can have rest in any situation I find myself in. Amen. I want you to read this with me. A pioneer is one who is first among the earliest in any field or endeavor. We got any pioneers stirring in their spirits this morning? Pioneers are those who stretch boundaries and extend horizons. Pioneers widen the parameters of the possible to explode the laws of the impossible. Amen. Pioneers abandon the status quo and create a new normal. Pioneers penetrate the boundaries of small thinking. Pioneers have a fire in their hearts that drive them to pursue what others dream unachievable. Pioneers view giants as grasshoppers, and others see grasshoppers as giants. I just love that. Now begin to see the giants as the grasshoppers they are. Why? Because God is with you. God's with us in this endeavor. Yeah. Ain't no mountain high enough. Pioneers take risks and defy the odds. Pioneers go for broke in pursuing their dreams. Amen. It's a quote from Rick Joyner. He says, pioneers who are compelled by their vision often must break ranks with the religious status quo to explore new regions. Well, I don't know about all that Saturday night churching. It was good until you started talking about Saturday night. You're breaking with my status quo. I didn't even realize I had a status quo. There it is. It just popped up. There's status and quo right beside it. I want to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit and his promise to us, as it talks about in Joel 2:28. You don't have to turn there, but if you're taking notes, and you should be, because this is better preaching than your amen, and I can already tell right now. But dreams and visions are the fruit of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Things like this, pioneering and doing things differently, that ought to be a way of life instead of something unusual. And sadly, it's unusual in the church today. But it is the stamped evidence of the presence of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. God sparks our imagination, ignites a fire in our hearts that sets us on our quest. Listen to this. I want you to write this down. Our memory replays our past, but imagination preplays our future. I'm going to say it again because that's better preaching your amen right now. I got to help you. Our memory replays our past, but our imagination preplays our future. I want to dream. I want to have these visions, Lord. I don't want to be stuck in my past. Oh, man, I did that, how dare I have the confidence? Well, because I'm not stuck there. Thank you, Jesus. He's delivered us from our past. Amen? Am I getting on recording? Because I don't use a mic, so. I always yell at Heather, too. Mic in the face. Come on. How are we supposed to hear you? I repent right now in Jesus' name. The woman was just under the anointing. Who knew? Pioneers have sanctified imaginations, church. Let's be creative. Sit around, well, what's Wade going to do about this? Well, I'm gonna imply. No one does that here. It's my church. Just bear with me for a minute. Instead, I'm going to engage my sanctified imagination. How can I be a part of a catalyst to bring a blessing in this situation? Amen? Countless people are without goals, church. I mean, there's a generation that they're looking forward to is the next iPhone. It's as far as my vision can see. There's going to be an iPhone 11 someday. It'll probably have a new app. I'm dreaming, buddy. We got to get a vision, church. Amen. And I believe that we're in a place where we're united in spirit, and we've been taught good things here. I know that there's a good, steady diet of the Word of God, which makes us healthy and strong. And now we can launch out. And it was such a time as this. You know, I believe that this was the time. You know, we were comfortable in renting, but renting is somebody else's. You're paying somebody else's mortgage. You know, what are we going to leave as a legacy for the next generation, should the Lord tarry? And so we got to think about those things. And so we got to decide to invest. But I want to read Proverbs. I mean, Acts chapter 2. I'm getting all excited. I didn't even read Proverbs. 29:18, you don't have to read it, but turn there, man. People perish for a lack of vision. You know, translation I like, because it's more, to me, it's just more really what happens, is the translation that says that without a vision, people cast off restraint. Do you know what I mean? Because the thing about it is, when I have a vision. One time, Pastor Wade and I recorded an album. He's my favorite guitar player. I play guitar. I didn't play guitar on the whole album because I wanted the guitarist to sound like Pastor Wade. And it's truth. And so I decided I'm going to make an album. So I've got to buy recording tape. But we wanted to go out to eat. But I said, well, you know what? I like to eat too. You can tell by looking at me. You don't even have to stretch your faith for that one. I said, no, we're going to buy recording tape and we'll eat the house. You know, and then times you finish the record and you got to make duplication. It's very, but back then it was thousands of dollars. Well, we want to get Disney tickets this year. That'd be so fun to go to Disney, see the mouse. He's lonely. Got to go visit. No. See, your vision puts restraint. Well, you know, and when God gives you a vision, it brings it in focus. Amen. And so we look for that. And we let God do that in us. We let God through our passion, you know, through these visions. Because this holy passion that comes from the Holy Spirit gives us boldness, optimism, a God-sized dream. You know what a God-sized dream is? A dream that's so big that you can't do it without God. And if you have a dream that is not big enough to involve God, get rid of it and get a dream that is a God-sized dream. Because He wants to do this with us. Amen. I'm challenging you to adopt the spirit of the pioneer, a call to move beyond the routine, ritual, and rut, which is in most of mundane Christianity. An infusion of God's spirit would revolutionize the relaxed, sedentary, immobile, undisciplined, aimless religiosity that often passes for faith in our churches today. I'm going to issue a couple warnings. I'm just about finished, but I have 5 points, and we're already at point four. Look at your neighbor and say, thank God. Count the costs. You know, a lot of times we think, people have the idea oftentimes that ministry is just fun till daddy took the T-bird away. And I have the time of my life. And so I think that I sometimes maybe false advertise because I have a good time. And people will come to me and they'll say, Pastor, I want to do some ministry. And so I have a vision in my heart. It's to equip saints for the working of the ministry. Amen. So I will help you launch your ministry. I'll help you do a ministry in the church. I'll help with it however I can. Most of the time, people get mad at me after a couple months. Like, I did something. What did I do? I didn't invent ministry. You know, they're mad because it's hard. You didn't tell me. You didn't ask. I just thought it was going to be fun all the time. Be the center of attention. Yeah, well, the center of attention also gets all the darts. You're the target. You're the little circle in the middle of the circles. Poof. People, the devil's a pretty good shot, you know? People are a good shot. So count the cost, you know? And then when you count the cost, don't let that shy, just say, hey, in this world, there's never going to be any tribulations. Wait a minute. That's not how that Bible verse goes, is it? In this world, there will be tribulations. You know, I count the cost. There's going to be times of struggle here. But I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I'm going to count the cost. And then I'm going to be aware. I'm not going to go into it blind and foolishly, but I'm going to go into it with my eyes wide open, looking for, though I will have detractors, and you will, I look for God to rescue me, God to show up, God to be faithful, God to do what only God can do. God who promised his faith. I'm walking with the family right now, and the place where they were living, horrible. They're staying with people, and they're like, I have no money to buy a house, to rent a house. I don't even have a job because of my felony. I can't even get a job. We got to get out, Pastor. And he's just freaking out. I said, well, here's the bottom line. We could all raise money and we could get you in a place, but you couldn't stay there. So the first thing you need is a job. Oh, I can't get a job. I've tried for 2 years. Grab my hands right now. I mean, it wasn't a matter of days. And he got a full-time job with the salary he needed. It's like, okay, we found the house. But now they need $1,700, first, last, electric. Anyone know what I'm talking about? He said, I ain't got 17 cents. Oh, I guess God can't do it. Wait a minute, what did he just do? Grab my hands. Right now we're walking this thing. But I'm going to tell you something. The God, he's faithful, step by step, by step, by step, amen? And then you get a wave of attack and you stand strong. And then you watch God, oh, look what he did. God bless this job. And then look, when they pay that deposit, oh, they'll glory God and they'll never forget it as long as they live. See, that's the thing. We count the cost and oftentimes say it's too tough. But what you're turning your back on is the story of a lifetime. Remember when we did this? Remember when us as a congregation, we just launched out and said, we're going to do something great for God. We didn't know where we were going to go, but we trusted God. And then this happened, then this happened. And there were struggles this and looked like it was going to go. You know what I mean? Looked like it was going south. And then we prayed and we danced and walked around that building, that property, and God gave it to us. You know what I mean? That's the deal. But you shy away from it sometimes. So I'm saying, look, count the cost. But be aware there will be tax. Jesus had his Pharisees. You'll have your detractors as well. I was thinking about Jesus here he is revealing the Father, coming to save mankind, forgive us of our sins. But sometimes he's going, oh, ye of little faith. Oh. You know, it's struggle, but he's a pioneer. So what the Bible say? He gave up because they were aggravating. No, he said he did it for the joy set before him. His vision caused him to continue. Amen? We have become a society, really, that doesn't think on our feet. Christians need to push against the tendency to follow the masses in a drone-like manner. Pioneers have a vision of something better beyond their immediate world and ways. And as a result of their efforts, pioneers make life better and more fulfilling for themselves, and they make the world a better place for the rest of us. So I think to me that's so key, that us as a group, as we unite together, I think about the people that will come to Christ under the influence of this ministry in days, months, years to come, you know, because we were able to have enough vision to stay strong. I want you to just to think of a foundational scripture in Luke chapter 16, verse 12. And if you've not been faithful in the use of what it is in others, who will be given that which is your own? See, I think that there's a percentage of people here that this church is not your final destination, as in my church. I want that for everyone to stay with us always. But there are people that are here for a season, and God is doing what God did for Pastor Wade with Pastor David Cook. He imparted what he needed to, and then he loosed you guys to the ministry that he's given you. And there are people here, but I got to tell you, that just doesn't fall from the sky. What you do is you're faithful in what you see to do now, and you serve that ministry. You know, most Saturday nights, I go up to my church, and where the Chapel of Ocala meets. They use our sanctuary, and I go and I help the sound guy if he's messing up, or if the drummer didn't show up, I play drums, or if the piano doesn't show up, I play piano. I show up and I serve the guy. You know why I serve him? And I think I'm his best. I pick up stuff and I vacuum and I move stuff around and I greet people. I don't even go there. I have my own church. But you know what, man? I serve because I know what it would be awesome if someone did at our church, you know? And I just think, you know, I want to bless him. And I know how to do this, you know? And I just look for places to serve. And I'm not tapping myself on the back, but I'm using that as an example just to say, you know, it's within our ability. And I got to tell you, I've done that since I got saved. I just served in the place I was. And I've watched God bless, and bless. And I'm not saying everybody that serves is going to have their own ministry. Sometimes your ministry is within the ministry that you've been born again in or that you've been growing in. And oftentimes, more than not, that is the case. But you will always grow if you'll understand that principle in Luke chapter 16, verse 12, amen. Albert Einstein said this: the person who follows the crowd will usually go no further than the crowd. The person who walks alone is likely to find himself in a place no one has ever seen before. The situation that I find in my town is there's a couple of mega churches, and it's just easy for people to go there. They make it easy. They got five services. They have a flashy children's class, a flashy youth group, all the you know, accoutrements of a paid band, and all of the, you know, the lights and just, I mean, it's a show, man. It's awesome. I get it, but the people kind of just drone in there, and the preacher's got it down where they'll preach 22 minutes, worship will be 12, and announcements will be this, and they'll have you out of there in 59 minutes, and boom, you know, it's just on to the next customer, you know. And people just drone right in there, you know. And I'm challenging, and I speak as a pastor of a small church. I just happen to believe this is where it's at. You know, and I believe that it's very tempting and very easy just to go where it's easy and where, you know, and here's the key. If you're being honest with yourself, here's what's appealing about it. I missed last Sunday and no one said a word. I don't even have to feel bad about myself for going in my boat. I don't even have to explain anybody why I chose to go to Disney on Sunday because no one noticed. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, following that crowd, it's tempting. But it's not, I don't believe what God wants in the earth today. Just for you to go in and punch a time card and say you went somewhere. I believe it's find the place that God has called you and you get a hold of that pioneer spirit, and we're, and as a group, we're going to do something together. You know, I think back to when I launched the church in the first service, you know, Pastor Lee and Carol Madsen were there, and they've been with me the whole time. They're in their 80s now. And just, man, I got to tell you, sometimes when you get discouraged, I think to myself, man, those people, they've stuck with me and they support me. I think Cosmo Easterly, he's been there since my first service, Cosmo. He's a weird one, just like his name. He's an odd fella. And I love him. I'm the Pied Piper of weird people anyway, so he fits right in. And I don't know what that says about me. I think about Robert and Terry James. Right, sorry, guilt by association, my friend. But I think about Robert and Terry James and how they just, the first day we had set up a little hospitality thing. And then at the end of service, she said, well, that's going to be my thing now. You're not doing that anymore. Especially y'all messy like you did that. I'm going to set it up nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, it's, I think about those people that decided that pioneer spirit, that they were gonna be with a church that was in the Ritz Hotel, you know. Where's the guarantee in anything? But they saw the Lord and they heard the Lord and they answered the call, you know. I think about those things, you know, and I want to ask you a question, and don't raise your hand to appeal to me or try to make Pastor Wade and Julie happy, but I want you to honestly lift up your hand if you say, this is my church. Amen. Almost every one of you. So while your hands are lifted, I want you to say this with me. This is my church. I join with it. This is my church. I support it. This is my church. I give towards it. This is my church. This is a big one. I refuse to speak against it. This is my church. I serve it. This is my church. And I stay committed to it. We'll leave that up on the board a little bit, and I want you to write that down. And I want you to remind yourself, because in this world there will be tribulations. You are going to have detractors. You're going to have things that, you know, because my kinfolk, they set off to go to California, and they stopped in Illinois. Don't stop in Illinois when you get to go to California, eh? There's gold in them there hills. Come on. I want you to begin to, if you haven't already, pray about what you're supposed to do in this transition. If it's give extra, if it's serve in a different capacity, if it's something, pray about what does a pioneer do? You know, that pioneer loads up the wagon and strikes off, hits the dusty trail, and that's difficult, you know? But we, when the enemy comes, we rally the wagons, you know, because we're in this together and we're going somewhere. And so I want to encourage you to begin to think about that. I can't answer that question. Only you can answer that, you know. But I'm talking about it's going to cost you something. I have a church that I attended up in Chicago. Beautiful church, powerful ministry, has affected so many lives. When that church started and they decided to build a building, they talked about how astronomical the property was in Illinois and Chicagoland and how much the building was going to cost, and it was just outlandish. And so they were like, we don't know what we're going to do. We don't have a, you know, some kind of rich endowment or whatever, you know. It's just like, what God's going to do? And share with the congregation. And five families in that church, God spoke to for them to give so much that they had to take second mortgages out on their house. Five different families. Now, I'm suggesting at the end of service that we fill out some papers. No, I'm just kidding. I'm teasing you. But I am asking you to really think that radically. And maybe God would tell you to do that. I'm not taking it off the table. But here's the thing I want you to think about. Those pioneers were all in. Pioneers are all in.
That's right.
I mean, when you mortgage your house, you believe in the cause. These guys have put everything on the line for this church. I mean, it's sink or swim. That's an investment. But the rest of us kind of come and, well, works out. You know, if not. You know, and I'm asking us to realize as pioneers, are we all in? You know? Those five families, and let's track this now, 35 years later, all five of those families are just phenomenally blessed. It's really amazing to see the businesses, the homes are paid off, the larger homes. I mean, and not that it's about those things, but this is factually what happened. But more importantly, all five of those people still attend that church. That's the coolest thing to me. All five of those families. Because here's the thing. A few years ago, I was able to take a small amount of money, but for me it was large, and invest it. And I bought a lot of stock in Amazon. I just believed in it. It just seemed to make sense to me, that whole thing. Well, out of all the stocks that they diversified with me, my Amazon is doing the best. And I know that because I pay attention to it. I pay attention. I give extra focus to what I've invested in. You see what I'm saying? I give care to it. In fact, I support Amazon on a regular basis. I do almost all of my shopping at my business. I'm going to do my part to see my business succeed. And we can do our part. And when we invest, you know, listen, I do short of praying for Amazon CEO and their business ideas. Keep being creative. But when you've invested in this church, you pray for her. Amen? I invite people. Hey, at the end of service, I'm going to line you all up, and we're all going to become Amazon Prime members. Why not, right? It's my business. I want to see it do well. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. But think about it. When I invite people, I say, man, this is my investment. This is what I'm pioneering, what I'm a part of. Amen? I want you to really genuinely ask God what we should do. If you see it, what God's doing, we're leaving a legacy. And now here's the thing. I'm praying as Pastor Wade and Julie get the vision that I'm gonna hook up to that. And a lot of times I have a preconceived idea. Like, you know, for me, up until recently, you know, to me, the only option was that you guys buy a building somewhere. We don't want to rent anymore. We're buying a building. And then all of a sudden, this idea comes up. Well, someone's going to let us use our building. And then we look at it and go, well, you know, temporarily. And so I'm going to put an expiration date on this whole thing, you know. But the truth of the matter is, as I'm thinking, God's outside of the box. What if God wants to do, I don't know, this little thing he said in scriptures, that they will live in homes that they did not build with their own hands. I'm going to have to say that again because somebody wasn't listening to me. What if God's doing what God said he would do, that they would live in paneled homes that they did not build with their own hands? That sounds like blessed. Do you want to go out and work and build a house, or would you rather just move in tomorrow? I'm turnkey. Come on, Jesus. I mean, I like to do construction and all, Pastor Wade, but turnkey is turnkey. We can play guitar, work on our scales, not hit my thumb with a hammer. Now, I'm not saying that's the thing. In fact, and I want to say this. When and if you guys decide to get a building, Pastor Heather and I feel like the Lord told, and this is a stretch, but we want to give $6,000 to that. And we're already earmarking it and setting it aside. So if that, when that happens, That's what we want to do. And that's way beyond what we really can do in the natural. But we know that this, your ministry, is important to us. And so I'm a weird preacher because I came to this church today not to take up an offering, but to give an offering. And I'm doing the best I can to preach. This is all I got. Sorry for your luck. But I give it with hopes that something in it would stir and connect with us, that we would see what God's doing right now, and we would not turn a deaf ear to Him, and that we would not miss our opportunity to have a Abraham experience, to have a Moses experience, to have a John the Baptist experience, to really have that pioneer experience in our lives. And so I'm asking you, would you be willing to not take up an offering, not just take, but are you willing to give something today or in the next few weeks to really say, you know, Pastor, I'm all in. And I'm giving this by faith, and he didn't ask me to. In fact, I'm probably gonna get in trouble for it. But and it's not about raising money; it's about raising your commitment. I really want you to think. And normally I would never share a figure. Probably lost my blessing because I did it. But here's the thing: I really believe that I want you to understand that I'm being real. That that's sacrificial, that that's hard. But I believe that that's what pioneers do. And I believe that's what is the key into me seeing the things that I want. You know what I want? I really want for First Love Church to be paid off. Amen. We only have $33,000 more, and that building's paid off. I'm so excited, you know? And I'm like, I could try to hoard all that stuff for ourselves. But you know what? Sowing into that is like sowing that seed towards, you know, the things that I want to see happen in my life. And God's faithful. When you are faithful in another man's, you're giving your own, you know. And so maybe in your life you'd like to see God to do those things. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I do not preach, nor do I believe that God is a bargainer and a deal where, you know, you help them, so now come on, God, show them the mortgage there. You know, but I have seen Him over and over be faithful when He can trust you with the resources, He pours them out in our lives. And so it's just a principle that we can count on. When we give, God is going to get involved in our lives. And so I want to be a part of that. And I want to invest in this. And I want to be part of the legacy that's left in this area. You know, almost at Claremont, but I guess kind of Mineola or wherever, you know, the Lord puts us in this area that we have a lasting impact, you know. And what a great thing to do with our resources, with our energy, with our skills, is to put them into something that will last beyond us, you know. What a awesome thing to do. And I think the older I get, the more I realize, you know, I can leave something that will last longer than me, you know. And so the practicality is certainly giving and an offering, but I think there's a practicality, and Pastor Wade's going to start uniting us in the next few weeks to come in here and start ransacking this place. You know, we've got to take some fans down and got to unhook some air conditioners and stuff. So you know what that means? All hands on deck. Well, you know, you might be older and feel like you can't do anything. No, there's something. You can push a broom, or you can run a vacuum, or you can, you know, tell a young person what you'd do if your back wasn't hurting. Come here, son. That's what I do with my kids now. I can't see, but there's a wire down there. Climb underneath that and get that, because climbing underneath that ain't happening today, you know. So we can, no matter where we are, what condition, what shape you're in, you can do something. Amen. For the kingdom of God. And so I hope that you hear my heart, that I really was stirred, that I'm grateful for the people in my church that have the pioneer spirit. And I just wanted to stir that in you folks today. And so thank you for your attention and your time. And I want to pray over you, and then I'm going to give the mic back. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name over this church that we would, if any of the dentist stuff would just be forgotten. But Father, the things that you spoke to us this morning, that they would be ignited in us, and they would take root in our spirits, I ask in Jesus' name. And Father, in this next step, however that goes, I thank you, Father, that you are with us and that you have united us, and that we would grow stronger as we step out in this place of pioneering. Father, that you would just increase the finances of this church, we declare. Father, the savings would grow. The power to be able to purchase would be increased. Father, I thank you for their continued impact, that we are part of a church that impacts the needy and the hungry, and that through all this, that this church will continue to be a beacon of light and of life for salvation, for practical needs, for everything, Father, that you want to do in the earth today, that you will continue to do it in this church. And we're careful to give you all the glory and honor for Brookside Church, that you have started, and he has begun a good work, is faithful to complete it. And so we trust you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. If you agree with it, give me a great big amen.
Amen.
Praise God. How many of you that blessed you? I was very blessed. Praise God. And we didn't really talk about this. In fact, he would never even give me a precursor as to what is this word you have for the church when we get a plan. And I just knew whatever it was the Lord. It was the Holy Spirit. And what was amazing, and he didn't know this, that all week long, I've been working on the vision of this church. And it's different than when we first started off. It's grown. It's more in focus. And so I've gone back over those things, and just spending time with the vision, the very things you were talking about, vision, I'm just sitting here going, Lord, you just... You know it's the Holy Ghost. All week long, been doing that. Did I tell you that? Did I tell you, hey, we've been working on the vision? Just spending time with that has stirred me in a lot of ways, because our vision has grown as the Lord's been pouring into us. And so the next 2 weeks will be about that. As much as I don't want to depart from the seed series, which has been so incredible, I think we need to visit the vision and talk about what the vision is, what we're about as a church. And so you don't want to miss the next couple of weeks. So anyway, praise God. I'm excited. How many of you excited? And we're in a timing. There is a timing to all of this. We are very aware. Karen said this to me. She and Christina are in, they're at Pastor Randy's church today. So they went up to surprise him in Riverside Church. But anyway, she said this to me. When we first got this news, we actually went to her home gathering and started talking about it. And she said, our church is the healthiest that it's been since I've been here. And I think she's been here more than 4 years. And so our church is the healthiest. And I was very aware that some of the transition we needed to make would have been more difficult at a different time. Right now, because it's healthy, we can make this transition and do it in a way that's very successful. I'm excited. I got a whole lot this morning, so thank you, my friend. Thank you. Praise God. Yes, Chris, come. Now, this is a move of God. If Chris has something to say, this is glory to God.
Don't go anywhere. I've known this man for a couple of weeks. And I would follow him anywhere. And do anything he asked me to do. And for those who know me a little more, that's something. My wife is attesting to that back there.
Praise God. Amen. Well, that's just like the Lord to put a sticky note from him. It's going to be okay. You know, Pastor Josh sat at that same table with Karen and said, we're with you. We're with you. So thank you, Jesus.